So if you had the chance to buy a third eye so that you could continue looking down at your phone while you walk, would you do it?
No.
Hello, this is Karen.
And this is Kevin.
And this is Right From Us.
This is an article on WND. It's called Smart is the New Dumb. Inventor creates third eye as warning to smartphone zombies. Device warns cell phone obsessives if they are about to bump into something. A South Korean designer has created a third eye that allows people to constantly look at their cell phones in the street as a warning to smartphone zombies. Peng Minwook's, the third eye is basically a sophisticated robotic eyeball that users strap to their forehead, which warns them if they are about to bump into something. Peng's invention uses a gyro sensor.
Gyro.
I always want to say gyro. Gyro sensor to measure the oblique angle of the user's neck and an ultrasonic sensor to calculate the distance between the robotic eye and any obstacles. Both sensors are linked to an open source single board microcontroller with battery pack, reports Reuters. When the user gets within 2 meters of another object, an audible beep warns them to take evasive action. So I just watched a video on this on the website, and basically this is a real thing. He is inventing it, but he's also doing it as sort of a joke to kind of wake people up to the fact that you are looking at your phones way too much. What do you think about that idea?
Well, that's true. People are looking at their phones way too much. Don't you think smartphones are sort of making us dumb?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, everybody's looking at their phones constantly.
Yes.
Like you see couples out to dinner and they're both looking at their phones, not even talking to each other.
Right. Or family gatherings. People are around looking at their phones, not really talking to each other.
Have smartphones made us dumb?
Well, I don't know. But people that like at work get into the elevator and they immediately pull out their smartphone. And it's like, why? You can't be bored for a few seconds.
Do you think that's
seconds?
Because people are just trying to
avoid conversation. Yes, I do think that actually.
Instead of just saying, hi, good morning.
Which I'm okay with, actually.
Good morning,
sunshine. I'd rather you not talk to me, actually, because I don't really want to talk to you either. But I don't pull out my smartphone and start scrolling through it. But
yeah, you just look the other way.
I just look the other way.
That's the thing that I used to notice that Karen would never talk to our neighbor. She would just go outside and she'd just look the other direction whenever
our neighbors were outside. And I still do that at work, too. I'm like, if I don't want to talk to you, I'm like, okay.
Just be friendly.
Well, I am being friendly. I just don't want to be like, I don't want to stand there for 20 minutes and talk about the weather. Just, it's just, no thanks. Anyway, so I thought that was kind of an interesting invention coming out.
It's basically a spoof, though. It's not really.
Well, but he is real. Really, no, he is really inventing it.
I think it'd be better if you had a.
I don't know if it's going to go to mass market.
If you had a invention that you could, you wouldn't be looking at your phone. You'd be looking straight ahead, but then you'd like see your smartphone information that you needed like in the corner of your eye or something like that. Rather than looking down at your phone, you'd be looking ahead.
Well, actually, they kind of have that now. And don't they have some kind
smart
of Google
glasses?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think you can do that now. But
yeah,
I just don't understand. I mean, what is so important on your phone that you can't get away from it for 2 minutes?
Well, Facebook and TikTok.
Oh, I guess. TikTok video. My gosh, we wouldn't want to miss the latest TikTok viral video here that comes out.
See your family's pictures on Instagram.
Okay. That could wait till you got home or whatever. I don't know. I just don't. I guess I'm from a different generation. I don't understand this obsession with smartphones. And I realize that, like, well, our kids didn't have them once they were little, but they've pretty much grown up with them. So I know there's a generation of people that have never known life without them.
I mean, has there ever been anything comparable to this in history? You know, like, before smartphones, what were people obsessed about?
Oh, I'm
like
sure it was something.
Radio or something, maybe? Or
maybe, or music, or discs, or Walkman.
Yeah.
Remember, the Walkman was really hot there for a while.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess it's always something.
Your iPod.
Just something to distract you from reality, I guess.
Yep.
Which I think is kind of a sad commentary on people in general. I mean, myself included.
Well, it's, I mean, it's pretty addictive. You start watching the videos and it just leads on to the next one.
But there's that aspect of it for sure. But I also think it just goes beyond that. I think it's just people just don't want to interact as a rule. I think it's just easier to just kind of bury your head in a phone, and that gives you an excuse not to interact with someone. Which, again, I kind of get. So, I mean, there are just some days you just don't feel like talking to people. You know, you just want to go about your business, you know, and just get through your day so you can go home. Well, exactly. I mean, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought that was fun. What's the most interesting article you ran across this week?
Oh, you know, there were a couple of local things that happened that got national attention. Like there's a teacher that was addressing the school board about critical race theory, and she got basically shut down by the school board and then escorted out by the police.
Yeah. Well, she got to the point, you have to be careful. You can't really talk about this on YouTube, but they'll censor you and take down your video because, you know,
about CRT.
No, about people trying to injure themselves.
Okay.
Yeah, you can't really talk about that on YouTube. Okay. It makes them cranky, you know, free speech and all.
Yeah.
So here's what happened. So this teacher, she's very concerned because a biracial student tried to injure himself fatally, without saying the word, because he was led to believe that the white part of him was bad, and he was getting a lot of bullies, a lot of people saying things, you know, of course, it's being taught in the school. So he's trusting his teachers to know what they're talking about. So he's hearing from, you know, authority figures that part of his family heritage, you know, he comes from bad people and he's a racist and blah, blah, blah. So he tried to injure himself. And this teacher, who's very concerned about this line of teaching that they were going into, was bringing it up to the school board, which, by the way, they couldn't get the live feed to work because it was broken. How convenient, huh? She had 5 minutes to speak. She was at 4 minutes and 30 seconds when she got to the point where she was saying that the student was trying to injure himself. And they shut off her mic, stating that she had gone over her time. She had not. And she was escorted out of the building. Just simply because she was trying to do the right thing by bringing to attention that, hey, this stuff that we're cramming down our kids' throats is harmful. It's harming kids. But they didn't want to hear it because, you know, it's...
Yeah, and part of what she was talking about was, you know, we're, as teachers, we're supposed to be, you know, encouraging our students and, you know, helping their self-esteem, not telling them that they're...
Yeah. Trying to encourage them to live their best lives, not give them insecurities and make them feel bad about themselves. So this critical race theory is blowing up all over the country. There's been a couple of other viral videos of mothers just going off on the school board about this crap. And there was one, actually, an eighth grader. I don't know if you saw that video, went viral as well. She's now homeschooled because there's so much crap going on in the schools that her parents decided to take her out of school and homeschool her, which...
Really?
Good for the parents.
Yeah, no kidding.
But she was also talking about how it wasn't necessarily about critical race theory. It was about how they were now allowing boys that identify as girls to use the girls' bathrooms. And when they expressed their concerns, they were told, well, what are you worried about? The bathrooms have stall doors. It's so sick and twisted where we are right now in our education. But I mean, you look at it from the leftist perspective and it's kind of smart. I mean, obviously they're trying to shape and mold these young minds from a young age. So they grow up thinking that this is just the way it is. They don't know any different, i.e. indoctrinating, but.
Yeah. And then we had another incident that went viral nationwide. It was a teacher at a middle school that was handing out cupcakes or cookies or something.
I didn't see this one.
Pride Month, LGBT Pride Month.
Side note, why do they get a whole month?
I don't know. Where's the straight month?
Yeah.
And that was kind of what one of the students was questioning. It's like, why aren't we celebrate, you know, straight people and heterosexual right. people.
That's only fair.
And this teacher just completely went ballistic. Have you seen that?
I have it's not pretty, seen the video.
It's pretty wild. She got fired.
Apparently. As she should.
She got fired.
Crazy weirdo.
But it's something that went nationwide from our town here.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, we're being run by liberals. And that's what makes me so angry. Like, we had an opportunity to vote these wackos off the school board this last time, and hardly anybody showed up because no one's paying attention.
Yeah.
Well, and then they wonder why all this stuff is trying to be pushed on the kids. It's like...
Yeah, well, I mean, there is one new member of the school board that's a good one.
I feel sorry.
And also city council, there was one new person. So it's just, you know,
like they're getting bullied.
We just need to keep chipping away at it, you know. Yeah,
I guess.
That's what the left just, they never give up. They just keep on, you know.
I know, and that's why they're so successful. Because they're just like bulldogs. They just get a hold of it and they just won't let go.
On the right, it's like kind of like, well, whatever.
Oh, I mean, all you have to do is call them a racist. They're like, oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
All right, I'm sorry. I won't say that again. You get your way. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. And don't be mad. Don't call me a racist again.
Yeah. And then, let's see. Speaking of cookies, we had Kamala Harris that she went to Guatemala this week, apparently, to talk about the border crisis.
Do not come. Do not come.
Yeah.
That's
and she apparently had cookies made in the shape of her face,
but it was faceless though.
I don't understand why she did that, but
her likeness was she made cookies of her likeness to hand out to the people on the plane. It's like
why would you do that?
A narcissist. She's a narcissist. That's why she thinks everybody's just Kamala Harris. La, 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 la. Yeah. In fact, I found this. I watched this other video of. What's her name? She has a long, long braid. She's always controversial. But anyway, she lives in Clearwater, Florida, as a matter of fact. And she goes out on the beaches and she likes to interview these leftist kids that are out there. And she was talking about how, you know, she was quoting all of these quotes from Kamala Harris, but making it sound like they were coming from Donald Trump. And of course, people were like, well, what do you expect? And why doesn't he go away? And he's not the president anymore, blah, blah. And then she says, would you be surprised if you knew that all these quotes actually came from the Biden administration? And they're all like, what? No. So she had to show them on their phone and prove it.
Yeah.
Like about her going to Guatemala.
Guatemala.
Yeah. Guatemala. I can't talk today. I'm tired. and was telling people don't come. And they're like, oh, she wouldn't say that. No way. That goes against everything that she said during the campaign or whatever. And nope, here's the headline proving it that she said it. And they're all like, well, I don't understand that. They're like genuinely shocked. No, I hadn't heard that. I had no idea because you're not paying attention. So anyway.
Yeah, you know, it's probably not good to get really just like absorbed into what's going on in the news and in the world.
Definitely
but
not.
You need to pay attention just a little bit, you know, because that way you know what's going on.
Which, you know? By the way, I heard something interesting, a commenter on the radio show the other day about how she was never into politics, never paid attention, didn't want to know anything about it. But because of all of these viral videos coming out and all these agendas that are being pushed on us, she's like, for the first time, I've really been paying attention and I've just been shocked by what I found out. So I'm hoping by that there are now people who wouldn't normally pay attention, starting to pay attention and realizing what's happening to their country, you know? So in some ways, I think it's a good thing that all this stuff's been happening because maybe it'll wake some people up.
Yeah.
I hope.
Yeah. But I mean, a lot of things that have gotten censored, you know, by Twitter and Facebook. Twitter and Facebook.
I'm not the only one tired, apparently. Oh, that's funny.
And, you know, really, they really should be held accountable for some of the things that were censored over the last year.
It's been criminal, in my opinion.
Yeah.
For sure.
And just think about how many deaths have been caused because of the censorship.
Well, you've got a thing on here. Talk about your Twitter Nigerian thing. Speaking of that.
Yeah. In Nigeria, they blocked Twitter. And I don't know what was the reasoning, why they did it. But for some reason, in Nigeria, Twitter is blocked. And Twitter responded by saying, "We are deeply concerned by the blocking of Twitter in Nigeria. Access to free and open internet is an essential human right in modern society. Mm. It's like, what about all the things you blocked throughout the last, well, I mean, years, actually?
Like the very essence of hypocritical.
Yeah.
So the article that you delete or that you link to says Twitter blocked in Nigeria after deleting a tweet by its president.
Oh, okay.
The government says it will arrest people who try to get around the ban. So Twitter is suspended indefinitely in Nigeria for the persistent use of the platform for activities that are capable of undermining Nigeria's corporate existence.
Yeah, why don't we block Twitter in the United States for censoring President Trump?
Yep.
How about that?
Well, that's never going to happen.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
And I've been noticing a trend on Twitter lately, too, where people are like, you know, they point out all the problems that are happening in our country right now. Inflation, CRT, critical race theory, Black Lives Matter, you know, this whole segregation against each other. But wow, at least we don't have mean tweets on Twitter anymore. So there's that. Aren't you glad?
No mean tweets.
That's right. But hey, we don't have mean tweets anymore.
It's so much better now, isn't it?
Isn't it? It's so much more peaceful now that he's not on Twitter saying those mean things. Orange man bad. I know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to change the subject. You got something else on that?
No, not really.
Dr. Fauci came out this week and said that if you attack him, you're attacking science. Because, you know, what happened in the last few weeks, I think it's like 3,500 pages of emails of Dr. Fauci's have been made public. And you know, there's some pretty disturbing things in there, you know, like a lot of other doctors were telling him that the virus looked like it had been produced in a lab or mm-hmm. it wasn't natural.
Well, but that's not disputed. It was produced in a lab.
It's disputed.
Was
it's not proven yet.
Well, I thought the dispute was whether it escaped from the lab or not, or if it came. Well, I guess it if it came from an animal, it wouldn't be produced in a lab. But,
yeah.
Okay, I see. You.
Yeah. So anyway, he's now saying that if you attack him, you're attacking science. And that's kind of how these leftists. You know, it's the same thing with climate change. You know, it's like if you attack the climate change narrative, you're anti-science. No, it's like science, that's how science works. You challenge things and, you know, you take a hypothesis and you try to prove it. And
you consistently, you consistently ask questions and...
Yeah, they want to just stop asking questions once they have their narrative out there, you know?
Yeah. In fact, speaking of that, the ignorance of those claiming climate alarmism is backed by science. Narrative is based on the assertion that small amounts of CO2 have altered the climate. On May 26, over the objection of company management, two new directors were elected to ExxonMobil's 12-member board. My gosh, I'm sorry, guys. I'm tired. I can't really talk today.
Did you get not very good sleep last night?
I never sleep good. The Washington Post called it a ratification of shareholders' unhappiness with the way the company had been addressing climate change and its lagging financial performance. Not really. The action was initiated not by shareholders, but by hedge fund engine number one, owner of about blah, 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 blah. Anyone who claims that climate alarmism is scientifically established is demonstrating ignorance. The climate narrative is based on the unscientific assertion that small amounts of carbon dioxide have fundamentally altered the global climate, requiring the rapid elimination of fossil fuels. In fact, CO2 is a benign, life-giving gas which enhances the growth and drought resistance of plants and increases global crop yields. Though CO2 emissions are probably generating a slight beneficial warming, the doomsday scenarios Fink so glibly supports have become a political narrative lacking a credible scientific basis. There you go.
All right. They also, the scientists also came out this week and said that the CO2 levels are the highest they've been in 4 million years. So you know where they're headed. They're headed for these climate change lockdowns. You know, shouldn't they? I mean, we've been under these ridiculous lockdowns for the last year. Shouldn't the CO2 levels have decreased over the last year? And now they're saying they're the highest they've been in 4 million years.
Which, okay, also, 4 million years? How can you measure something 4 million years ago?
They can't.
It's a guesstimation at best.
They can't.
And whatever, science. But yeah.
But That's what's coming. They're going to. They saw how successful they were with the COVID lockdowns. Now there's going to be some sort of climate emergency or something there to promote some lockdowns.
So how do you think that's
somehow
gonna
restrict
work?
Our activities? Hmm. You know,
like restrict planes. Yeah,
you can
and
only
cars and
you only be able
travel.
To drive. You'll be able to drive. Be able to drive 2 times a week, and then the rest of the time you have to.
Like
go
take
remotely.
Public transportation or work or remotely. Yeah.
How are you going to work at a restaurant remotely, though?
Yeah.
Speaking of which,
wow.
This is a pretty big change.
Right
in
before
topic.
We came home to start the podcast, we went to a fast food restaurant, one of our favorites.
Quick service.
Quick service. Yeah, it's not a fast food.
No,
it's quick service.
Fast casual.
Oh,
it's called fast casual.
I don't know all the categories. But anyway, we get in there and there's nobody behind the counter. And we're like, what's going on? So finally, one person comes up and she goes, hey, just to let everybody know, I'm the only one working right now. So please be patient. So, you know, they are having a hard time. And there are multiple restaurants we run across shutting its doors.
Where I went for lunch today, they had a sign on the door saying, due to extreme staffing shortages, will be closed tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I talked to the guy. There was one guy working there today, too. And he said, yeah, they can't hire anybody. And everybody's been working overtime. So they're just going to close tomorrow.
Yeah, see, that just breaks my heart for those poor people that are there. They're just working the people that are there to death.
Yeah.
Well, because they can't get anybody to work. Well, I hope they're getting over. Yeah. They better be getting overtime. They better be getting
that. Yeah, that poor gal at dinner tonight. She was just like,
oh, she was close to tears.
In tears,
I felt so sorry for her. And she told us that they had a group of 15 that came in and left in a huff because she was taking too long. Well, she's by herself. What do you expect? And that's just a reminder again, guys. If you're going out to eat or you're going to these places and they're clearly understaffed or there are a lot of dirty tables because again, they're understaffed. Please be patient. Please be kind, because those poor people are working their butts off. I just felt really bad for her.
Well, you know, a number of states have rejected the federal unemployment assistance.
So, in your opinion, do you think it's going to get better in about a month? Like, are you thinking people are out
well,
there now?
Well, it's
going to
take a
jobs?
While because, you know, if you think, you know, somebody that's making... You know, these restaurant workers are probably making minimum wage to probably $12 an hour. And if they got a stimulus check and they've got all of this federal unemployment, they've probably been able to save some money up and maybe not work for the summer, you know, if you think about it.
That's true. And then this girl that was there at this fast casual place tonight, she was saying that her employers, you know, only paying minimum wage, which at this point in time, they're only cutting their nose off to spite their face because a lot of people are paying more than that now just to get people in the door. So to stay competitive, I mean, they're going to have to raise their salaries.
Yeah. So in Missouri, the federal unemployment stopped today.
Oh, today.
Yeah.
Oh,
June 12th.
Okay. There you go then. And see, I was thinking it had been the 1st of
most
June.
Of the other, there's 25 states that have opted out of the federal unemployment at this point, and most of them, it looks like today is the first day that it kicks in.
But still, like you said, I mean, it could be a couple of months before we start seeing a difference.
At least a few weeks, wouldn't you think?
Oh, at least a few weeks, the minimum,
yeah, so
I would say.
We just have to be patient.
Just be patient, please, people. When you go out there and there, you can clearly see their...
I just felt like I wanted to get a rag and help the lady clean tables or something.
I wanted to help her out. I felt so bad for her.
I didn't want to, you know, get her in trouble or something.
I mean, she was genuinely close to tears. It must have been a hellacious day for her. And so I just... And then, you know, when we get up there, we still are not able to order because they're
out
of food.
They were out of everything.
Or no, they had the food. They just didn't... They hadn't... She hadn't had time to go back there and like cut it up and... prep it and stuff. So we just left. And I told her, I said, you're doing a great job. Hang in there. And I just feel so sorry for her. But anyway, people that are mean to people like that, I just want to get all violent.
Violent?
No, I don't want to get violent. But I do get very kind of mama bearish. Like, you know, hey.
Give her a break.
Give her a break. Good gosh. That's just awful. But anyway. Speaking of the economy, back to the 70s, latest figures show Bidenomics failing. They're calling it Bidenomics, I guess. They've given it a buzzword. They're comparing this to the disaster that was Carter back in the 70s.
So how long have we been under this disaster? January, February, March, April, May, almost 5 months now. Yeah. Man, it seems like it's a lot longer than five months.
Can you believe we have 3.5 years left of this administration? The latest data confirms that implementing the policies that wrecked the economy back in the 1970s will have the same result today, warns economic journalist Charlie Gasparino. Bidenomics isn't working. It's built on a lot of wishful thinking and a lot of cash, he wrote. Post-COVID, the economy will grow on its own, so you have to ask whether all this spending is worth the inflationary risk. The 5% spike in the consumer price index announced Thursday is the highest level in 13 years, noted Gasparino, a correspondent for the Fox Business Network. And it's not like we weren't warned this was coming, he said. If you grew up in the 1970s, as we did, you might recall long gas lines, consumer goods too expensive to afford, and something called hamburger helper, which people used to stretch ground beef because meat was so expensive, he wrote. Yep, we're all going back to hamburger helper. But honestly, he says the two main factors causing inflation are at work today on steroids, he said. The Federal Reserve keeping interest rates too low for too long and massive government expenditures. Gasparino argues the Biden administration and the Fed are throwing money at a problem that doesn't exist, extending unemployment benefits, even though the COVID shutdowns are nearly over.
Yeah. Nearly over? I thought, which states are they not over?
I don't know. Probably California and New York.
Let's look at what states are going to still continue to have.
Yeah, what does New York and California look like? They're still doing theirs, aren't they?
Yes.
Of course they are.
New York, California, Oregon, Washington.
All the liberal states, the leftist states, are continuing to support their people with money they don't have.
Basically, the middle of the country is getting rid of the federal unemployment.
Yeah, I'm really glad that our state's doing that. I mean, I can't imagine what it would be like. Gosh, what would be like if they were just like indefinitely?
We were talking about this earlier. You know, for example, at McDonald's, they're testing automating the drive-through where it's just mm-hmm. like automated intelligence mm-hmm. Takes your order. And then also, I don't know if you've been to Walmart Supercenter lately, but it's like they've drastically expanded their self-checkout. Are there any?
I saw four actual cashiers. Yeah. Four like actual cashier stations. The rest of the floor space was all automatic.
Yeah.
So they're not even putting.
I mean, that's just in the last couple of months they've drastically expanded those things. So when people start going back to work and start looking for jobs,
they're not going to be there. They're going to all be automatic. Yeah.
Well, maybe that's good. Maybe that's good.
Yeah, but then
they can get more manufacturing jobs and things like that.
I guess. I don't know. It makes me really nervous, but.
Yeah.
All because of the lockdowns. I feel like the lockdowns started this whole crazy ball rolling.
Yeah.
Don't you feel
like? Not the virus, the government.
The government's response to the virus is what's put us in this situation.
Yeah, the overreaction.
Right.
Lockdowns, the ridiculous stimulus and unemployment benefits.
If we had just stuck to the plan, the 15 days to slow the spread, and then after that 15 days, when they figured out, okay, it's not as bad as we thought, you know, all this information's coming in. They should have gone back to normal and allowed people to live their lives. And if people were scared, they could choose to stay home and not go out. You know what I mean? Just leave it up to the people as to how they respond to it.
We can't do that, Karen. People aren't smart enough to figure that out for themselves.
Isn't that insulting? I don't understand why more people are not irritated by that, because that's so insulting to the people.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I think there
you don't know what you're doing. We know what's best. You're too stupid to live your life.
Some people are not smart enough to figure it out, but I think the vast majority are, though.
Yeah, for sure.
And especially if people would just stop watching the news media. I mean, that basically nothing on there is true.
Well, not necessarily stop watching the news media, just have the wherewithal to take it with a grain of salt.
Be skeptical of it, at least. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, I'm a big advocate for getting your news from all different sources so you can figure out what the true context and the true story is. But have the wherewithal to realize that they have an agenda, so they're going to obviously be slanting their news stories to meet that agenda. Just know that that's what's happening and take it with a grain of salt. Don't take everything they say as gospel truth. On either side, by the way, not just the left side. The right side can do that as well. So that's why it's important to get it from all sides.
Yeah, and they're trying to get people riled up again here in our town. The one of the doctors at a local hospital was on the news saying he's concerned about all the young people that are showing up in hospitals with respiratory problems. Do you think it's because they've been wearing a mask the last 6 months and breathing a bunch of fibers and their own bacteria?
How could there not be some kind of repercussion for that? Because it's not natural, first of all, to walk around all day long every day with this medical grade mask that has little fibers in it that you know you have to be breathing in. There's no way you could
not be.
Either
fibers or mask worms.
Yeah, well, I choose to think about fibers because worms freaks me out too much, but who knows what it is. But yeah, I mean, of course that stuff's going to be happening. So, you know, so I just feel like in him bringing that up and the way he presented it, that once again, they're trying to get people riled up and scared. And it's just, COVID is over, okay? It's over. Everybody calm down. Let's get back to normal. Just stop with the variants and the, oh my goodness, now it's hitting our young people. And blah, blah. Just stop. Just stop. Okay? It's over. Just, if you are genuinely scared, you have the choice of staying home. Okay? Everybody else, live your life. Get the vaccine. Don't get the vaccine. Live your life. Do what's best for you and your family. I'm so tired of people telling us what to do. Over it. I'm over it.
Well, they had a couple of passengers on a cruise ship in the last couple of days that got tested positive. So apparently it was the they're periodically testing cruise line passengers, and this was apparently the last test of the cruise, and two passengers tested positive, so they're quarantining them. So I wonder what's going to come of that.
You have to understand that this boat, they wouldn't let anybody on unless they were fully vaccinated. All the employees were fully vaccinated, and yet they still had two people come down with COVID.
Yeah, so what do you think is going to come of that? Do you think that they're going to change what they're doing with that? Or do you think that it's going to come to light that the two passengers weren't really vaccinated? They lied somehow.
Well, let's say for the sake of argument, they didn't lie. In order to cover their butts, they're going to make it seem like they weren't. You know what I mean? Like they're either going to spin it somehow that they weren't really vaccinated, or hopefully they don't like freak out and shut everything down again.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Do you know the length of the cruise? Was it like a...
I don't know. I don't know if it was...
Because I was going to say, well, how could they have caught it, you know, if they were on a cruise ship? But I guess you could supposedly get it within like 2 weeks after you've been exposed.
I don't know. And then didn't you... I think you were the one that told me that even if you get the vaccine, you can still shed the virus.
Yeah.
Which, well, I don't know.
Allegedly.
Who knows what's right? Who knows what's true and what's false nowadays? There's so many different...
Yeah, I mean, speaking of false, the PCR tests have been proven to have quite a few false positives. So maybe they're false positives.
Well, to be fair, there could be a lot of false negatives too.
Yeah.
So, again, you just don't know. I mean, we just don't know. There are so many unanswered questions. That's why I have such a problem with this.
It's crazy.
This vaccine, you know, there's so many questions. And speaking of that, CDC announces emergency meeting as heart problems from vaccines rise.
Yeah, you know, the question I have about that is they're announcing an emergency meeting, but they're not having the meeting for like a week. If it's an emergency, wouldn't you like to have the meeting like tomorrow?
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, see, it's on...
One week
on June 18th. It's like, okay, that's a week from now.
That's true. What? How do you even see that? That's funny. The CDC announced Thursday that they would be hosting an emergency meeting to address the higher than expected side effects.
We're going to have an emergency meeting, but let's just do that next month.
Effects of the COVID-19 vaccine in children. The meeting will be held in 1 week on June 18th. Just 18 days ago, I reported that the CDC had 8 reported cases of heart inflammation reported in children and youth after receiving the Moderna or Pfizer vaccine. At the time, that data was already a week old before it reached the public. They also weren't very specific about which particular age group was affected. Now they are scurrying to gather and discuss the hellacious increase of cases since that time. I don't use that word lightly either. Since then, they've now reported 285 cases, which is an increase of a whopping nearly 3,500%. Of the 285 cases, 226 meet all the CDC's criteria for a working case definition for myocarditis and pericarditis. The vast majority have recovered, but 41 had ongoing symptoms, 15 are still hospitalized, and 3 are in the intensive care unit.
So what are the symptoms, and what is heart inflammation?
I don't know. Let's look it up. Let's see. They said that they expected to have reports of adverse reactions. Still, the reality of the situation is that nearly almost 9% of the doses administered to youth ages 12 to 24 years old resulted in a myocarditis or pericarditis reaction, aka inflammation of the heart. While this age range only makes up 8.8% of the vaccines administered, they make up 52.5% of the adverse reactions reported. Wow. The most common adverse reaction was dizziness. In the CDC's slideshow, it's odd that they switched the demographic ranges to end on either 24 or 25, which can convolute or skew the statistics if one is not paying attention. Their agenda has been released in slideshow format and contains all the data they will be discussing during their meeting next week, their emergency meeting next week.
Signs and symptoms include chest pain, fatigue, shortness of breath, and arrhythmias.
Which is irregular heartbeat.
That's coming from the internet. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, in children, though, to have heart issues, that's so weird.
Yeah, well, and we're, you know, vaccinating our children now.
I don't personally agree with that, but again, your family, your choice.
Yep.
Do what you think is best, but.
Speaking of your family and your choice, there's that, did we talk about the Houston?
My body, my choice.
The Houston hospital
that so,
fired, or no, they suspended 178 employees for not getting the vaccine?
I don't think we've updated you guys on that. You may have seen the news report on this, but a couple of weeks back, I was talking about a case that I was going to watch closely. It's Houston Methodist Hospital in Houston, Texas, and they like to brag that they have almost 100% of their employees vaccinated. There's a small percentage of people who have chosen not to. So 117 people walked out on the deadline. And they have 2 weeks. They've been suspended for 2 weeks without pay. And if they don't get the vaccine in that 2 week time period, they will be fired. So they have sued the hospital. They're currently in a lawsuit. Federal judge expected to make ruling on lawsuit from Houston Methodist employees this weekend. The hospital is trying to get the case dismissed with its attorney saying it has no merit. The battle between Houston Methodist Hospital and the employees suing them played out in a federal courtroom Friday. The lawsuit, which was yesterday, the lawsuit alleges that requiring employees to take the COVID-19 vaccine is forcing them to participate in a clinical trial. And that's what some of these people were saying on camera. They don't want to be human guinea pigs.
It seems like the judge is not buying that argument, though.
We took the position, this is from their lawyer's perspective, we took the position that it shouldn't be dismissed for a whole host of reasons, and we believe that forcing an individual to participate in a vaccine trial is illegal, Woodfill said. But the hospital says the vaccines have proven through rigorous trials to be very safe. I'd like to see some proof of those rigorous trials, please. They say it is the employee's sacred obligation to protect their patient. The judge appears to side with Houston Methodist, saying that getting the vaccine was a company policy and was just like having to show up to work on time. The judge also said taking the vaccine is not like being part of a clinical trial, nor is it experimental. But while he made these statements in court, the judge has not yet given his official ruling as to whether or not he will dismiss the case. Well, I think judging by those comments, he probably is going to dismiss the case. But they're not giving up. If that's the case, they're going to keep taking it up to higher and higher courts and the Supreme Court if necessary. Hmm. So what do you think about that?
Well, we'll just have to keep an eye on that. Hopefully that doesn't happen here.
I feel like that if the hospital wins, that's going to embolden a lot of hospitals across the countryside, mm-hmm. probably mine as well, to mandate the vaccines. So
I don't know. I think we'll should just quit and become a stay-at-home mom again. Like a housewife. You could have dinner on the table when I get home.
No offense to any housewives out there. I did it for 7 years when the kids were small, but I don't want to do that again. I am much happier working and doing something outside the home. So sorry. Thank you for that option, but I'm going to pass.
It's out there though. Just
okay. Well, just, thank. I appreciate the offer, but I'm going to pass on your offer. But it does make me sad. I don't want to lose my job. I like my job. And not to mention that goes back to shortages, you know, employee shortages. So if they mandate it and they lose this, like a chunk of their people.
I just can't imagine it because they're already shorthanded.
They are definitely shorthanded.
I mean, aren't they bringing in nurses from Philippines or something like that?
They brought in a bunch of travel nurses because they were super shorthanded. And I just think that a lot of people are not even going into healthcare. Don't you think? They're not choosing to go into healthcare. So that's one of the reasons why we're shorthanded. I know a lot of people are not going to become to be primary care physicians because they don't make as much money. So they're all going into specialties because that's where the money is.
Yeah.
So there's a shortage of primary care physicians.
Right.
Which is another reason why there's so many nurse practitioners.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see.
Okay. We're getting up there on time.
Let's see here. Did you happen to see, this got my blood boiling, comparing D-Day heroes with Antifa turds? Did you see the video of that?
No.
From the Lincoln Project?
No, I didn't see
that. Look it up, guys. It'll make your blood boil.
I did see where the big guy, Biden, was praising transgenders for being so brave. But yet he didn't mention anything about D-Day the other day on June 6th, you know, about the brave guys there. That's pretty disgusting.
So
what is this about?
This is a commentary on WND.
Antifa turds, what's that mean?
Okay, so it says this group, which is the Lincoln Project, is the one that put this video together. This group claims Antifa is selflessly combating the rise of right-wing fascism by burning American cities, destroying small businesses, and terrorizing innocent citizens. Apparently, the latest trend by our domestic terrorists is to pretend they're fighting the good fight against a common enemy, just like the Allies fought against the powers of evil that were taking over the globe during World War II. Ergo, anything Antifa does, beat, loot, vandalize, burn, harass, murder, is a noble calling on par with banishing those evil forces, even though Antifa and BLM and many of today's SJWs are directly and indirectly responsible for the jaw-dropping spike in blue city crime over the past couple of years. The Lincoln Project is not the only one to desecrate the memory of D-Day by comparing it to our current crop of snot-nosed domestic terrorists. So you have to watch this video because it basically are old clips of, you know, when they went, they're all coming off the boat and they were going on shore, that whole iconic scene, which just breaks your heart. Certain death, so many people died on that day, but they're saying that they're comparing them to Antifa. Like Antifa are the heroes in this, just like the people
Antifa
on the D-Day.
Guy are like the Antifas group. Are like the soldiers.
Yes.
Man, that is so sick.
Isn't it sick? You watch this though, and it just turns your stomach. It's so gross.
Yeah.
But we'll link it in the show notes, but you watch the video and it's just like your jaw drops. Like, what are you talking about? That's so insulting to all the men and women that died. It's just, man, it's so crazy. Anyway, I'm not shocked very often, but I was pretty shocked when I saw that. That was awful.
Yeah, they think that they're doing good by burning down
the city. Isn't that crazy? In their minds, I guess it's justified in their minds.
Nuts.
But, yeah.
Beating people up.
Yeah. And there's no cure for whiteness, by the way. I hope you know that. So I guess, you know, I guess we're doomed because we're white people.
Right.
Wow, guys, we live in a crazy, upside down, topsy-turvy world.
It's all nuts. Right. Okay, what else you got?
Okay, let's do some questions.
Oh, goody.
How are we doing on questions?
We're pretty hot. We're pretty up there on time.
Okay. Oh, we're doing great. What are you talking about? All right, let's do a couple of questions here. This is from the tabletopics.com. They are nice little, this is not sponsored, by the way. They're glass boxed little questions that you can bring out.
Can you still buy those?
Yeah, I just went to the website. You can still buy them. And they've actually expanded it, so it kind of makes me want to buy some more. Because it's just cool. I mean, we've done this several times with people coming to our house and doing this, just to kind of open up the conversation.
We can never think of what to say. So
yeah,
it's like,
I know.
It's after like, it's pretty hot outside, isn't it? And, it sure didn't rain a lot last week. It's like
after the pleasantries are over and we've caught up on each other's lives, we're like, okay, now what do we talk about?
Yeah.
What's the most significant problem facing the world? I think the more important question is what's not, what's going right, I guess.
Well, Biden is probably one big thing.
Yeah.
I mean, he's out there saying that white supremacy is like the biggest problem in the world. Can you believe that?
Climate change. Climate change is also a big problem. It's
like, that's like the opposite of what's.
I mean, take your pick.
Yeah.
I mean, critical race theory, COVID, segregation.
Yeah.
I mean, just there's
we got these all these computer hacks that are happening. You know, I keep saying someday there's going to be an attack on the internet or the grid, you know.
Yeah.
That could be pretty bad, and we're out here saying that white supremacy is the number one problem. We got things like that going on,
right? Exactly. Yeah, and I don't know. In some ways, it kind of makes you wonder if this was a trial run, as far as like biochemical weapons, and then you know, hacking into these important systems that they end up. I'm pretty sure they paid the ransom.
I think they did pay the ransom, but they did apparently get the ransom back.
Because the FBI got involved
The meat.
The JBS.
The meat producer.
Yeah.
They paid in Bitcoin and they apparently got that back.
Oh,
which is kind of.
What do you think about Bitcoin, by the way?
I don't know. If you could pay somebody and get the money back, it just. I thought it wasn't traceable.
I don't really understand Bitcoin.
Well, one thing I do know is on people's tax return, you have to note. If they've got any
really
electronic currency.
That kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Do you think that'll ultimately be a good thing if our economy crashes with inflation and all that stuff and the dollar becoming less valuable?
I don't know. The thing about like these electronic currencies, the value goes up and down dramatically in a week's time, you know?
Yeah.
So how could you use that as a currency when one day it's $50,000 per Bitcoin, and the next day it's $40,000 per Bitcoin.
But we may not have a choice if the dollar crashes.
That's true.
I mean, I guess it's...
Yep.
We kind of go back to the whole trading, you know, we have to, I'll trade you this for this, you know, kind of bartering system, I guess.
Yeah.
But what are the most important qualities you look for in friends?
Friends?
I know. That's a foreign word. I'm not familiar with that word. What does that mean?
obviously loyalty, you know, and someone you can talk to.
That would be your first thing to say.
Something you talk to people about, you know.
I really don't have any friends. I have people I like at work. I feel like they're friends, but they're work friends. You know, we really don't do anything outside of work. Do you feel like you have very many friends?
Not really that many friends, no.
And then I don't feel sorry for us because if you're like, oh, no, I am happier that way, honestly, because I don't know, my time is, I'm very selfish with my time.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to, that makes me sound like a bad person, but.
It is very, to be a friend, it's very time consuming.
It is.
And you have to put yourself out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, for example, my uncle. He has lots of friends because he takes the time to go over to their house and talk to him and tell him what he's doing.
But let's be honest, that's all he has is time.
That's
he
true.
Doesn't work.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
Because he is on disability. Is he on disability?
Uh-huh. Yeah. He's disabled.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, that's so he's got a lot of time to devote to it, but definitely friends take a lot of time. I think for me, humor is a big one for me. I got to have someone that's not, doesn't take themselves too seriously.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
you
really
gotta laugh.
Really, you're my best friend.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say, even though I know it sounds cheesy, but it's true. I mean, I definitely married my best friend.
Yeah.
I mean, you're definitely the one that's closest to me for sure. But anyway, what was the most fun you ever had at a party? What's a party?
I've had some pretty fun. When I was playing in a band, we would play at parties.
I knew you were going to bring that up.
So it was pretty fun, actually.
So
I mean, there were some times my guitar was usually pretty loud. And there was times when I could not even hear my guitar because the crowd was so loud.
Was that a high for you?
Yeah, it was pretty fun.
Yeah, I bet it was. Yeah. Let's see. I mean, I've been to some pretty great parties, but nothing really sticks out. Like, it's just fun just having, again, back to humor, having some laughs. I'm a big, you know, let's crack some jokes, have some laughs.
Yeah.
Life's too serious as it is.
Yeah.
What do you complain about more than anything else? Do you know what I'm going to say?
No.
What am I a little obsessed with right now? COVID.
Oh, just the overreaction.
I'm still not over it. I'm sorry. I know you guys are sick of hearing about it, but I'm just not over it. It's just like, what? I'm just so shocked by this whole last year. I'm just shocked.
It's pretty normal. I mean, things are pretty normal, but you know what's really strange, and we've noticed this today, is that a lot of young people.
Yes.
What was the question again?
What do you complain more about than anything else?
A lot of young people still out there seem like, I think they're just, you think they're just in fear?
I don't know if it's in fear and or I think they think it's kind of cool. I think they think it's kind of cool to wear a mask.
In some ways, it's kind of a security blanket.
It is.
You're hiding behind the mask.
Yes. Some people, and I feel like I've read articles about this, where some people like it because it makes them feel invisible. They don't have to be like sociable. They don't have to be.
Yeah. It's kind of like people that wear hoodies. It's kind of like you're kind of hidden.
So. Yeah, I guess
a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
So what was the question? Did I answer?
I don't think you answered it. What do you complain more about than anything else?
More than anything else? Probably just government. I'll just leave it at that.
I mean, I feel like our whole podcast answers that question.
Yeah.
What was your most embarrassing moment? I've got one. You want me to go first?
Yeah.
So I don't remember how old I was. I think it was in high school. And I was laying out, sunning myself, and I had my glasses on. I fell asleep in the sun. So I had this big blister, you know, around my glasses. And I had to go to school. And I was mortified.
Looked like a raccoon or something?
I looked like a raccoon. I was mortified. I don't know if that was the most embarrassing, but it ranks right up there for sure. And then falling out of my car.
Falling out of your car. While driving.
That's another story for another time. It wasn't my fault. Well, it was kind of my fault, but it was okay. It was my fault. But anyway, I'll talk about that some other time. I don't want to talk about it today. It's too embarrassing. But what about you?
That was on your 18th birthday, right?
Yes. Yeah. No, my 19th birthday.
19th birthday.
Yeah. But anyway.
Most embarrassing moment? I don't know. I've had so many.
Let's see. I'm trying to think. Have you ever had like a wardrobe malfunction or?
Probably. I mean, my entire wardrobe's a malfunction. But I can remember one time when I was a kid, I was at church. I was on the front row for some reason. And after the preacher stopped praying, I kept standing up and everybody was sitting down. And I turned around and the whole congregation was sitting down and I was standing up. That was pretty embarrassing.
I bet most people weren't even paying attention, though. I mean, you've gone out the house with your zipper down and things like that, right? I mean, have you ever had anything like that? That's
just the other day.
Are you serious? Uh-huh. Kevin?
Yeah. I mean, I was out. We went to a bunch of garage sales and and actually we went over to the, they had this gemstone show over here. And my uncle comes up to me and goes, "Oh, you're a fly stone."
Did he really?
Yeah, usually it's me telling him because he forgets. he has a list of things he's supposed to check. He's supposed to check if he's got his phone, his wallet, is your fly up. You know, it's like a list of things he's supposed to check when he leaves the house. But this time it was me, and I had basically.
Oh no!
As far as I can tell, I had been going like all day long with it like that.
Oh
so.
No, Kevin, was it like gaping open or just a little open?
No, it was just a little, yeah. little bit. But.
So did he give you a hard time because you're always telling him?
Yeah.
It? Oh, yeah,
you,
goodness.
Usually there's some things that I get on, you know, sort of get on to him about. And then whenever I do it, he really.
Have you ever had an embarrassing moment like in your past jobs? Like, did you say something that you weren't supposed to or talk at a time you weren't supposed to?
Oh, yeah. I mean, all the time.
I mean, I
guess. Just all the time.
We all have that issue. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I used to have to get up in front of the stockholder meetings, you know.
Yes.
And that. I mean, that was
kind of terrifying, I'm sure.
Yeah, kind of embarrassing and terrifying.
Okay, I have another one that happened at work twice, actually. So they have these chairs that I can't sit in. They make my back hurt because the seats are a little bit kind of concave and my butt is so big, I guess, that it makes my back hurt. So I sit on stools. Okay, because it forces me to sit up straight and it just doesn't hurt me to do that. So they have stools in the exam rooms. Well, you got to be careful because those suckers are on rollers. So I went to sit down and I missed it. This is in an exam room in front of a patient and I missed it and it shot out behind me, slammed into the trash can and behind, made a huge loud noise. I'm on the floor and I have my laptop in my hands. Thankfully, I didn't drop my laptop. So I just... as a joke, because again, I always fall back on humor, I just looked at the patient. I said, well, I'm just going to continue on down here if you don't mind. And they're laughing, you know, and I said, I'm fine. You know, are you okay? I'm fine. Well, I made so much noise that my nurse comes into the room. Are you okay? What's going on? It's like, I'm fine. It's fine. Everything's fine. Patient's fine. I'm fine. So that happened. It was super embarrassing. And then I was dressed up. Because I mean, if I'm not in clinic, I can wear regular clothes instead of scrubs. And I was sitting out in one of the pods and I fell off a stool again in front of the nurse. And it was really embarrassing. And I don't think my dress came up, but I was worried that it did. And so, yeah, I've fallen off the stool a couple times at work. That's been embarrassing. Oh, and I also fell over my feet as well and face planted.
Well, that's interesting because you used to be the clumsy person of the family. And I think I've sort of become the clumsy person of the family.
But I feel like I'm catching up to you though. Yeah. And I was walking into work and when I'm really tired, I kind of drag my right foot a little bit. I don't really bring it up. I know he can always tell. And I was really tired that morning and I tripped over my feet and I fell face forward, slapped on the concrete floor in front of registration and parent or patients. And a doctor came over and she's like, are you okay? I'm fine. I popped back up. Big goose egg on my knee the rest of the day. I had to ice it. But yeah, I feel like I've done a lot of stupid things like that. Just clumsy.
Yeah, we all have.
Stupid things.
We all have.
Have you ever fallen in front of people? I know that you have here at the house,
I have. I slipped on ice one time.
In front of someone?
I forget where it was at a store or something.
Yeah.
But.
Well, I definitely.
Yeah. It happens to everybody.
I've had some pretty embarrassing moments. But, well, you just laugh it off. I mean, you just have to.
Right.
Because, I mean, I'm a klutz. Okay, how about one more and then we'll call it quits.
Okay.
Would you live your life any differently if you didn't care what people thought? Well, my answer is I'm living my life.
She's never cared
I don't
what
care
thought.
What people think now.
That's one thing I admire about
Judge
you
away.
Is you don't care what people think about you.
Could
you
care just, less.
I'm kind of getting there, though. I'm pretty much there now. I don't really care too much.
You are much better. That used to really be a thing for you, and you're much better at that now.
Yeah, I don't think it would really change for me very much at this point.
Yeah.
I wouldn't really live any differently.
Yeah. I think that's a good lesson, though. You know, you be you, and people can take it or leave it.
Yeah.
I mean, why be somebody you're not? You can't please everybody. I think that's pretty obvious now in our culture.
Yep.
So the moment you try to please everybody, they turn on you. So
yep.
Just be yourself, man. Live your life.
That's right.
Be happy. Okay. Well, I guess we're done. Do you have anything else to add? How was your week? How's the trailer coming along?
It was pretty good. I installed the latch on the door, an RV, actual RV door latch. And, you know, I didn't watch any videos before I bought the latch. And after I bought the latch, I saw some videos of people saying this is like the hardest thing that I've done so far in this RV conversion.
And would you agree with that?
Pretty hard, yeah. It was, you know, thick metal, like a quarter inch thick metal, having to grind through. It was pretty tough, but you know, it came out fine.
And how many of those grinder wheels did you go through?
I think it was six Dremel tool grinder wheels. It just took a long time. Took a long time, but it's done.
And it looks great. You did a great job.
Yeah, it's fine. And then now, today I got the air conditioner. I actually got the air conditioner yesterday, and I was working on just the dimensions of it, you know, where it's going to, the layout of it and that sort of thing. So,
which we got to put in because it's pretty hot. It's been pretty hot.
It is hot. We went from pretty kind of a cool, unseasonably spring, cool, and now to it's hot.
Definitely summer for sure.
I'm just wondering if this is going to be a hot summer now.
I don't know.
If it's 90 already.
They're talking about, I don't know if it's El Nino or El Nina, where it's like, I don't know, some kind of jet stream, hotter than normal temperatures or cooler than normal temperatures. I don't know. It's one of those.
I thought it was climate change.
Well, I'm sure it is. I mean.
Oh, wait, global warming. It's in summer, it's global warming. In winter, when it's unusual, it's climate change. Right?
I think, I don't know. I get them mixed up. I have no idea. Whatever the buzzword is.
Was it like unseasonably warm the last couple of days? Have you noticed if it was a record or anything like that?
I haven't noticed, but I don't know that it's been unseasonably warm. Yeah, I think seems unseasonably warm
because
we've had such cool weather for so long.
92 today.
Month of May was very wet and very cold.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It just seemed like such a shock now that we're in summer weather. But
yeah.
That is our region's weather is up and down. We're a roller coaster.
If you think about it, that's one of the coolest things about Missouri is the weather. You just never know what's going to happen.
And you definitely never know what it's going to be.
You might, in the morning, there might be a tornado, then in the afternoon, it snows, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're one of these regions where you can never really pack away any seasonal clothing.
That's right.
You might be in leggings one day and tank tops the next. So
or the afternoon.
Or the same day. Exactly.
All right.
Okay, we better call it quits. I think we've taken up too much of your time. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for watching and listening.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.